Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conlin.
What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes a flag on the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty misk and the dusky dusk? Courage. What makes the muskrat guard its musk? Courage. What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Hottentot hot? Courage. What puts the ape in apricot? Courage. What have they got that I ain't got?
Courage.
Thank you. Thank you. Famous line from what?
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, that cowardly lion, right? That turns out that he has some courage for the prayer. So the prayer for each one of us this day is that we have courage. That we have courage to listen to this message that is troubling. It was a message that was troubling to the disciples. It was a message that was troubling to the rich young ruler. And it's a message that more than likely will be somewhat troubling for each one of us. So are you ready? Are you open to God? Hear God speaking this morning from Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and father." He replied, "I have kept all these since my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then follow me." But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who could be saved?" He replied, "What is impossible for mortals is possible for God." Then Peter said, look, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not get back very much more in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." And this is God speaking to each one of us here this morning. Disturbing to the young man, disturbing to the disciples, and disturbing to us. You know, the other Gospels give us some hints about what's going on here. It's Matthew that tells us that this ruler who would have been one who would have some administrative authority in the community that he was in, tells us that he was young, so he was somewhere in between the age of 24 and 40, was a young man at that age. It's Matthew that tells us that he runs, he actually runs to find Jesus as he's walking through the community. He runs and he kneels before him. He kneels before him to ask this question. So even though some commentators might think that when he got to that place of saying good rabbi, that he was trying to, you know, lift up a little bit and try to get in good graces, what I believe is happening here is somebody who's very sincere, who sees something different about Jesus and is drawn to him, and using that word good that was used only of God at that time to describe, he's drawn passionately to him. He kneels down before him and he says, good rabbi, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God, eternal life? And so Jesus invites him to reflect on some of those Ten Commandments. He doesn't turn to the ones that are about God and humanity. He turns to the ones that are between humanity and each other. And he says, gosh, I've done a really good job there. I've followed it since my youth. I have tried very hard to do it all right, to honor God. I've wanted to do this. I want you to know that. I've done the right thing. But that big smile he would have had on his face at that time. And then Jesus says, well, that's great. I want you to do just one more thing. Just one more thing. Sell everything you have and distribute it to all those in need. And then once you finish that, I want you to come and follow me. This is an invitation right here to be one of the disciples, to follow along with Jesus. And what do we learn about this rich young ruler? He goes away sad. Why does he go away sad? Because he realizes all that he'll have to give up. All that he had been depending on for his security at that time. People struggled day by day. But he had enough resources that he didn't have to do that. He had something that he could hang on to depend, to take care of his life. And Jesus was asking him to do something very different at this point. Becca mentioned it to our kids, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And the question to us, like the question was to this rich young ruler, where is your dependence? Who are you depending on? What are you trusting in? And if you're focused on the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, if you're focused on that eternal life, don't you want to lean everything and trust everything with the one who is pointing you in that direction? It's disturbing to him. It's disturbing to the disciples. Lord, what about us? Have we done enough? Are we off far enough? Are we close enough to that boat that you'll throw the life preserver so that we can get on that boat? Have we done enough? It's a scary question that is asked there. And we need to focus for just a few minutes on the reality of our riches, the risk of our riches, and the ways that we can release our riches. So let me ask you a question. Are you rich? Are you rich? Do you think you're rich? Are you living like you're rich? It's an interesting question. We might answer that in different ways. You've heard me say this before. $37,000 family income. If there's $37,000 coming into a household income, that puts you in the top 4% of people in the world. Now I ask you again, are you rich? $37,000 household income puts you in the top 4% of people in the world. Are you rich? I remember when Patty and I were in Amarillo and we lived in our sweet yellow cottage that we loved so much. It was small and it was great, and it was great for the four of us, and we were living off my salary that was much lower than the salary that I make at this time. And we traveled to see my brother, and there's no judgment here. Don't hear this as judgment. We traveled to see my brother, and it was always good when we had that opportunity to see family in Oregon. And my brother lived in his 6,000 square foot home that when you walked in the entryway was this gorgeous two-story entryway. And we were considering whether we would go up to the mountains to go to their house in the mountains for the weekend, because they had that place up there also. And what was intriguing, and there's no jealousy, there was no anything. We lived different lives. We made different choices in different ways. But what was interesting was sitting at the breakfast table with he and his wife and Patty and I, and hearing how broke they felt. Literally. Felt broke. From all the bills and all the things that were going on. That this gorgeous, beautiful house, they had this house in the mountains, they traveled whenever they wanted to, but they felt broke. So are you broke? Or are you rich? It's an interesting challenge for us, isn't it? We, almost all of us sitting here, a part of the 4% in the world. That's the reality of our riches. Now there's risk that comes with those riches and that responsibility that we're given. The rich young ruler went away sad. That's all we know. I want to know more. I want to know more about his story. I want to figure out, you know, did he have a conversation with him? I love redemption. I want it to be right for him. We don't know anything else about him. It's frustrating. We know that he went away sad. Because what was Jesus asking for when he asked him to get rid of all his goods and come follow him? What is Jesus asking of each one of us? Is he asking each one of us to sell everything that we have right now? If you could go sell that flute, I can get you like $40 for that in the parking lot. Okay? Is he asking us to sell everything? What was Jesus asking when he asked that rich young ruler to do that? He was asking for devotion. He was asking that he put his trust fully in God. There are plenty of people in Scripture that have resources. People that Jesus was around, people that were Paul was around, that used those resources to glorify God, but they didn't give them all away. But the harshness of this question makes us look at the reality of our riches and the risk of our riches. The risk of arrogance and the risk of misplaced confidence. Arrogance. The arrogance of that young man, probably. You know, I see all these people. I see how they struggle day by day, but I have these fine clothes and I have food every day. I don't think I want to go there. I'm pretty sure I've shared this with you before, but it's sure worth hearing again. And that's when I was out of college and living in Chicago. And I had that job offer to go work with Procter & Gamble, or I had the struggle of would I turn and go to seminary. And in that season, going kind of back and forth and wondering which direction I was going to go at that season. And in the blocks just in back of me where I was living were some very challenged areas. You had to be careful as you walked to the marketplace to get food. And I remember thinking, you know, I put myself through school. My parents' divorce was right as I was leaving for college. I worked three jobs. I worked all kinds of crazy jobs to put myself through school. I was able to do it. I didn't get the best grades, but I was able to get through school. I did it. You should be able to do it. Anybody should be able to do this. And it was my time there in Chicago that I began to learn some things. That, you know what, my whole life I was told that I could do it. That I would go on to school. that I could have the career, that I could, you know, I was always pointed in that direction, versus the generational poverty that I learned that I was around in Chicago, where for years and years and years, people had been told that they couldn't. They can't. It's impossible. Sometimes when we get to the place in our riches, financially, we can become arrogant. I pulled myself up by the bootstraps. Why can't you? Why can't they? But that's not everybody's reality, and we need to remember that and be careful with that. A risk of the riches is our arrogance, and a risk of our riches is our misplaced confidence. That we put more confidence in our pension, in our 403B, in our savings, in our investments, in our job, in our whatever it is, that we put more confidence there than our confidence that rests in knowing that no matter what, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, Jesus immediately is throwing that life preserver and drawing us in. Doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. All are welcome. So what are we putting our trust in? Is it in our own finances or is it in God? That was the hard question that we was asking the rich young ruler. That's why it was so hard for him and sad. It wasn't about what he could give away or how much he would give away. It's about where his confidence was. Then there's the risk of the abuse of leaders in the church. And on this 500th anniversary celebration of the Reformation, we think back on those times of what people did that Becca alluded to in that season of indulgences, that the holy man would come to the house, would come to the people and say, your sins are great, but if you do this, by paying me this, your sins will be less. So using that authority of riches over others, they're all risks that are there. But Jesus inviting the disciples, inviting the rich young ruler, and inviting each one of us is inviting us to release our riches. To release our riches to God. And offer them up that in all our lives, in all that we do, in how we live, God would be glorified. I want to commend you as a congregation. You have done an incredible good work and blessing to God and for so many people. It won't take 2 months of us very long to think about the special offerings that we have had that have raised funds for refugees, that have raised funds for Belize, that have raised funds for City Team and Cornerstone, children in need, medical crisis, all kinds of things. We have been so good about responding to needs beyond ourselves. And I honor you and God honors you for the gift of doing that, of trusting in doing that. In this season of stewardship, I ask you to consider something else, and that's to remember that generosity, that releasing of riches to the functioning of this church also. I wrote an article, and you're going to read it in a couple of weeks when a newsletter comes out, but I wrote an article about what I'm hearing from different folks who have been in our midst. Some missionaries who have come back and just said, what's happening at this church? Something feels different. A child of the church who's now in ministry, who was here for the mission conference and said, something very new and holy and sacred is happening here. And it's exciting. And I want you to know that and feel that and smell that and experience that also. And know that as we release our riches and celebrate the glories of what God is doing here in our midst, that you will seriously take time as a family, as individuals, to prayerfully consider, how do I want to be a part of this plan of ending relational poverty, this plan of moving forward in the community, this plan of making a difference for our children, this plan of making sure that I cry next spring when Brian has those young people come forward and read their confessions of faith that blow all of us away. That's all about honoring God here in the ministry of this church also. That's what this congregation is about. That's what this ministry is about. Cowardly Lion didn't have any courage, did he? He didn't have courage to follow, did he? Come on, Rob, help me out.
Yes, he did.
Sure, why not?
He did, didn't he? He did. You remember that story? He did. He didn't need a medal. He immediately moved to help. He had that courage. It was implanted in him. The gift is implanted in each one of us by the Holy Spirit to live differently, to not live for the world, but to live for God, to not live for our own fame, but to live so that God is seen and that God is honored. So have that courage as we move forward in this stewardship season. And holy and beautiful, gracious, loving, merciful Father, we thank you for the rich blessings that you have poured over each one of us. Help us to recognize how rich we are in every way, and to use the richness that you have bestowed upon us to glorify your name. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.